Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise this morning. We worship you, Lord. You are our all in all, Lord. You are the beginning and the end. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the righteous one. You reign, Lord. Your power, your authority reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous, Lord, the just and the unjust. We thank you this morning for your presence here. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that you've redeemed us and set us free, Lord, that you're the one whose love never fails, Lord. And even when we're in the wrong, Lord, even when we make mistakes, Lord, you are there and your love prevails, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. Once again, Lord, now we surrender this time to you. It's your time. We are your people. We've already asked you to take control. Once again, Lord, I just echo that. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are causing our Father's will to be done, not only in this house, but in each and every life today. For that, we praise and thank you in advance. Now we enter in and we give you all praise and all honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we want your will accomplished in each one of us and sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. For that, we'll praise and thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God has taken me in an entirely different direction this morning than what I had planned, and I'm grateful. I'll just share what I shared with most, but I'll share with all of you too that I had church this morning early. I got a chance to visit with my pastor, and we had church together. I talked to Stan this morning, and I thank God for that man. I thank God for that man. It's good to seek wise counsel, amen. It's good not to lean to your own understanding, but to seek out, like the book of Proverbs says, to seek out counsel, seek out wise counsel. And I'm blessed this morning because of it. How many know what this symbol is? Okay. But what does it stand for? It's supposed to stand for righteousness and justice. But you know what it is? It's not a symbol of oppression. It's a symbol of protection, both over the just and the unjust. Just like God. And I bring this out this morning just to say this, that that's what God is. He's one who reigns on the just and the unjust. He's the one who's in control of the just and the unjust. He's the one who knows the beginning from the end. He knows every move that every person's ever made from the day that this earth began with Adam and Eve all the way until the final breath, and He begins to set up His kingdom on this earth. He knows. He's in control. Amen? And He loves us with an everlasting love. In Jeremiah 29:11, He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And you need to put your name there. You need to understand He's talking to you and I. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts for good and not for evil. Did you hear me? For good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. God has never, ever had it in His heart to harm you in any way. He's out for your good. He's out to bless you, to lift you up, to bear you up. All we got to do is call on Him, trust Him, and believe Him. Amen? Hallelujah. And then the final end, He says, to give you a hope and a future. And that means I don't care what you've gone through yesterday. Yesterday's past. There's no record of it. In God, if you're a believer, there is no record of yesterday. We need to let it go. We need to let it be gone from us forever. Forever. When you bring it up to Him, all He does is stand there and say, what are you talking about? We need to get this down in our hearts. There is no yesterday with God. It's what happens today, what the motive of our heart is today. And then an understanding that He has a hope and a future for us, to give us a hope and to give us a good future. A good future. Not a messed up, mixed up, terrible future, but a future that's blessed, happy, healthy in Him. Our salvation is in Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. That ought to excite you. He's a God of love. And nothing will ever separate us from that love except our choices. I've made many bad choices in my life. I make mistakes even today. And I've struggled with this. I'm telling you, I was so blessed this morning talking to Stan. I've struggled with this in my own life. some things I don't understand. And I confessed it, both to God and to Stan. I said, you know what? I hear what you're saying and I believe it, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But it's the truth. I know because I've experienced it. I've walked in it. Why do I struggle with it? I can't answer that. Because I'm still too much human? Amen? I've walked with God for a long time, I think, but it hadn't even been a drop in the bucket. And I'm finding out every day more and more about His grace, His mercy, and His love towards us. The Scripture asks the question, who or what will separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. It's impossible to be separated from the love of God. And that's whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The difference is the blessings of God, all of the blessings of God, follow the believers. They're on the believers. Amen? All of them. On the unbelievers, there's a few laws that are enacted that they may follow that they get blessed for the moment. But that's where it ends. They need the Lord, just like you and I needed the Lord. And we recognize that. We gave our lives and our hearts to Him. Amen? We need Him desperately. If y'all want to sit down, go ahead and sit down. And we'll do the music here in a little bit. Okay. If you're comfortable, I'm comfortable. We need to understand that God doesn't love us based on our actions. He loves us because He loves us. And what makes Him even more love us even more, if that's possible, is a heart that's fixed on Him. Not that you did everything perfect in your life. Not that you made you dotted every I and crossed every T, but that you had a heart that says, God, I love you and I want to do the right thing. Even if you didn't. Even if there are things in your life that have held you back, things that you're ashamed of, things that you detest, God's for you. Who can be against you? Stan said something this morning to me that blew me away. I never thought of it like this before. No weapon formed against us will prosper. That means even the wrong thinking of our carnal mind. How many know the enemy tries to use that against us? Tries to hold us back. You know what you did. You know what kind of a person you are. And God says, I love you. And we can try to out-talk Him or out-shout Him and it's not going to happen. God loves us with an everlasting love. There is no hatred or disdain in God. There's love, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are the things. Those are the things the Scripture admonishes us to think on. Those things are things that are lovely and pure and of a good report. And our lives need to be focused on Him and need to be focused on the fact that we're being changed. That's why we come to church. We can keep coming here from now until we grow old and gray and draw our last breath and go into eternity. And we're still going to need to come here until we draw that last breath because we've not arrived. So it's not an ended process just by saying, Lord, I believe in You, come into my life. Salvation is new every day. It's new every day. Can you grasp that? Can you really get a hold of that and understand salvation wasn't a one-time experience? The dealing with the sin that separated us from God was a one-time event. But the lawlessness that we commit every day of our lives, in whatever way, God says, I'm not condemning you for that. I knew what you were going to do before you did it. In fact, before you were born, from the very foundations of this earth, when I created the world, I knew what you were going to do. I knew the situation, and I've got it under control. I had it under control, and I've got it under control. And He said, even though you do wrong and you do things that disgust yourself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you with me? Man, I'm telling you, we need to shout and praise God. Amen? Amen. That's a love I can't comprehend. I know it's real. I've experienced it. You have too. But I'm trying to tell you, I don't have an understanding of it. I want to walk in it, and to the best of my ability, I am. But the key is that I'm not focused on other people. I'm focused on me, wanting to make sure my life is right, making sure that I'm doing what God requires. And if I make a mistake, I want to be bold enough to come and say, you know what, I'm sorry. I've wronged you or I've done this. I don't feel it was right. Whether you hold it against me or not, I want to be that kind of person. Because I know God's forgiven me. Now I need to make it right with you. And I need to always be aware that I need to look at me before I look anywhere else in my life. 99.9% of the time, the things that happen in my life, I'm probably the cause of. I'm probably the cause, not somebody else. It was a circumstance that came in. Doesn't make a difference where it came from or what the origin was. We know it wasn't from God. And I went with it. That's my fault. That's my fault. It's not God's fault. And it's not the other party that I may think I have an issue with. It's my fault. Amen? Praise the Lord. God loves us. And that's all He sees. That's all He sees. That's what motivates His thoughts and His actions in this world towards His people. He says, even though you make your bed in hell, He's there. No matter what, He's there. He's there. And He's in control. He won't violate your will. You can do what you want to. You know, that's a pretty profound statement. You can do what you want to. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What does your heart of hearts want to do? He gave the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And it's God's business to work out these things in us. It's God's business to direct us. I'm not the flashlight or the spotlight or candle or what have you to point out the deeds of somebody else. But He, by the Holy Spirit, is the flashlight, the candle, the spotlight that shows me where I'm wrong. And when He comes, He doesn't come with malice or hatred or bitterness. He comes with love and says, this is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. Amen? And if He says nothing will separate us from the love of God, nothing shall be able to separate you. I can't remember where that scripture's at. I want to read it real quickly, though. That means even things that you do as mistakes. And they're mistakes. They're not sin. They're not sin. They're lawlessness in the fact that you didn't obey what He asked. And He says obedience is better than sacrifice. Are you with me? Somebody knows where that scripture is, tell me. Praise the Lord. Anyway, well, I can't find it, but you guys know what scripture I'm talking about. Romans 8:39. I should have known all that good stuff's in Romans. You know how you can know that that's the case when the things are in Romans? Because that's where all the roaming is done. Romans 8:39. Listen carefully, starting in verse 37. Romans chapter 8. Yet in these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? Is your mind and your heart made up? Are you convinced this morning of what God's saying here and of His allegiance to you and His love for you? Yes. Praise the Lord. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us
from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, with the anointing, Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing will separate us. Hello, young lady. How are you? No problem. We're just a little bit early, that's all.
Oh, good. I was like, you're not even
digging. Nope. Changed the order of the service. I didn't. God did. God did. I'm glad to see you. You guys are a blessing. I'm blessed for having you here. For those of you who may not know, this is part of the Romero clan. This is her oldest daughter, and granddaughter, and baby. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, Romero's just blessing my socks off this morning, all coming here. Good to see Bob this morning, too. It's always a blessing. Miss him. Terribly. Praise the Lord. Anyway, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And that's talking about... Good morning! Amen! Praise God. Oh, see, now that just made my day. I'm happy as if I had good sense. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. But understand that means that not even the things that we do, not even the things that we devise as in our own selves, are going to separate us from the love of God. He's never going to turn on us. He's never going to reject us. Never. Did you hear me? He's never going to turn on us. He's never going to reject us. Oh, you missed a good place to shout. God loves us. He says, with an everlasting... Can your puny little mind wrap itself around that? It's the times when we get into trouble that's the most important that we run to the Father. Not run from Him. Not reject His Word. And let the enemy lie to us and tell us what a nasty, ogreish person we are. Or how much we've missed it. He's a liar and the father of all lies. Is that what the Word of God says? Both I'm asking the question about what the devil's idea is and what God's idea is. You've done nothing that will ever cause you or cause God to turn His back on you. You dealt with that. You dealt with that when you said, Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Be the Savior of my life. I've done wrong. I need You. I make You the Lord of lords and King of kings in my life. I believe You were born, just as the Bible says, from a virgin. Amen? And that You died and You rose again. For what? What was it all about? It was for You and for me. For You and for me. That's what it was about. And it's all dealt with. That's something we can't wrap our minds around either, our hearts. It was for You and me. It didn't make any difference how bad we were before or the mistakes we made now. It was done once and for all. It's done away with. It's dealt with. It's buried. It can't be made alive again. Old things are passed away. Old things meaning anything that happened a minute ago. A minute ago. And it's passed away. Dead and buried. Forgotten. There is no record anymore. How dare you and I hold those things up? But God, no, we're not billy goats. Are you with me? It's dealt with. It's under the blood. It's covered. When He said, you're forgiven, you are forgiven. That blood covered you. It washed you white as snow. I wish we didn't make mistakes. I wish we didn't have struggles. But we do, because we're humans. That's not an excuse. And it's not something we can hold up like a badge. It's something we just accept and say, okay, God, I need You. I need You. More desperately than I've ever needed anything or anybody in my life, I need You. I want... My prayer this morning, before I ever came here, was, God, open my eyes to my understanding so that I can grasp this. So that I can know that no matter what happens, I can run and I can wrap my mind and my arms around this and accept this, pull this tight to me, this concept that Your love prevails over, through, and in anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. In anything. God's got to love, amen? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I already know, and all of you know because you've experienced it, the first thing that happens when you make a mistake, and it's a mistake. It's not a life-threatening thing. It's a mistake. When you do, the enemy comes and says, man, you're rotten. You messed up. Send your saddle home, John. It's finished. And when we do, he's not like earthly fathers that get a little upset, get frustrated, and all of a sudden take a big belt or a big bat and just want to smack you upside the head. He comes to you in love. He never disciplines in anger. He never chastises in anger. He chastises in love. Wraps his arms around you and said, you know, that probably wasn't real good for you. But you know what? This is the way. Walk this way. Walk in this way. And then he tells us, he goes on to say, if your heart, your mind, will, and emotions, your thought process condemn you, be of good cheer. I am greater than your heart. If you're troubled, be troubled by the world, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And now you and I are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Glory to God. Glory to God. And we're in this process to the end. When you start a race, you don't start it just to give up and quit and run. You're in it to run the whole thing. But the Bible says, unlike the world, that whether you get the baton or cross the line or break the ribbon, you ran the race in its fullness. You ran the whole race. And you're a winner in God's eyes. You and I are winners in God's eyes. Then he goes on and tells us we're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. Nothing rules over us that we don't allow. But even in that, once we catch it, we can run to the Lord and say, God, I really messed up. I'm sorry. And God never points his finger. Y'all know that I've told you many times that when my kids were young, I told them, one of the biggest things we do is when we get in trouble, we run from those who love us. We're ashamed that we offended them or that we might have, you know, done something that would displease them. And we want their acceptance, we want their love, but we're afraid that they're going to turn on us. And people in this world, especially who don't know the Lord, but even some who do know the Lord, do those kind of things. But never once when you came to God did he ever say, I'm sorry, I can't help you anymore. It's over. Did you ever hear that from God? I can tell you I've been walking a long time with God and I have never heard that in all my Christian life. Never once. There have been times because of my foolish perceptions and the things that I experienced in my life in the natural that I thought God was going to finally say, enough's enough, it's over with. There's things that I haven't even divulged to y'all, and I won't unless God tells me I need to. Some of you I have told. Things that I said and did that, my God, talk about striking fear in your heart. Ooh, mercy, mercy, mercy. But God forgave me. The enemy still tries to attack me with that stuff. It's a lie. I'm putting it down. I'm not accepting it. Because that does not show the character and nature of God. Amen? The only thing that's truth is His plans, His thoughts, His Word that tells us who and what we are, what we have in Him, and what He did for us. Our face needs to always face the cross and see and understand that God did something so tremendous that it's inconceivable by the natural mind. The Scripture says that. It's inconceivable. You can't intellectualize it. You can't analyze it. You can't put it under a microscope and take it apart and change one word of it. You just have to accept it. And sometimes, because of our analytical way we are, we have trouble with that. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, I love Him more today than I've ever loved Him in my life. And I can tell you what motivates me is not looking at the things that happen around me or that other people do, but in those things, seeing myself and running to God and say, God, forgive me. If I'm still like that or if I'm like that at all, God, forgive me. I need to change. I want to change. That's what God considers a perfect person. One who runs to Him. Runs to Him. Told my kids, started to tell you, got sidetracked. Don't run from me. I may not like what you did. And you know what? Those feelings that you may have, of disappointment and things in things around you and the actions of other people, whether it's your husband, your wife, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, the people out there that you work with. God never ran and He never ever turned on them. He never ever did that. He wants you to run to Him. Even though He's disappointed, He doesn't, that doesn't change His love for you and I. That doesn't change His belief in you. Why? Because Jesus, the greater one, lives and dwells in you. And what is the hope of glory? It's Christ in you and I. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Those are the things we're supposed to think on. His love and His Word never fail. They never come to an end. And God says, if I don't keep my Word, then I need to put myself out of the picture. Kill myself. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write that. That's not me. That's God's Word. And understand that the things you see out there, instead of pointing a finger of accusation, remember what manner of person you were. Consider your ways. And then understand that there, except for the grace of God, you and I would be in the same place or walking in the same area. Mistakes, oh my goodness. If I was to go back and try to count them, enormous. But that's not where my focus is. I'm forgiven. It's done. I can't do anything about it except serve God today. Amen? That's all we can do is live for God today. I still am amazed that a cartoon, a silly cartoon, an animated film could have so much profound wisdom in it. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Profound wisdom from a cartoon. Who says God can't use a jackass? Or a cartoon? He is in all, through all, and above all. Amen? According to the Word of God. Is that right? Do you believe that?
Yes.
You know where we struggle? Is bringing ourselves to the place where we accept that. Where we accept it. We're the ones who tie the hands of God in our lives. But God, you don't know. Oh, really? Really? I'm the one who made this world, created you, knew you from the foundations of the world, but I don't know and I don't understand? Do you see the foolish logic in that? My goodness, that's pretty arrogant. That's pretty arrogant. His love and His Word abide forever. He tells us in Hebrews 13:8, I am the Lord, or you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And He does not sleep, and He does not slumber. He is always at work on our behalf. His angels are always active in our lives, watching over us. Amen? You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read something to you that I know we're all familiar with. If you're like me, you learned it when you were a small kid in Sunday school. This is the confession of our mouth, what needs to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Does that sound like a safe place or a harmful place? He leads me beside the still waters. There's sustenance and sustaining there, and health and life there. Amen? He restores my soul. Folks, this is old covenant. And if His Word can't change, then that means it's still alive and working today. He restores my soul. David. We all know what David did. I don't have to go into that. David was a man who made many. What we might consider, because we have a tendency to want to put levels on sin, which is wrong. The Bible says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. That's why Jesus came, to relieve us of that guilt. If your heart condemns you, He's greater than your heart. And He said, I didn't come to condemn you. What makes you think now, because of whatever you did yesterday or you did 10 minutes ago, that He's here to point you down or beat you down now? Where do we get that lousy thinking? That's demonic, sensual thinking. In other words, everything that God does is based on what I do. No. There was only one thing that God did based on you, and that's come into your life when you asked Him to come in. Now the rest of it is because He loves you. There are some requirements, yes. But you know what I'm learning? And this is one of the hardest things I've ever struggled with in my life. Is that God blesses me even though I don't feel I deserve it or whether I did the right thing or not. I don't understand that. I've been brought up my whole life to believe that the rewards come if you're good, if you do the right thing. The biggest blessing is that God is with us no matter what. No matter what. Amen? Glory to God. We serve an amazing God. He restores my soul. When I'm down and out, when things have gone wrong, He restores my soul. Wow. That's the gospel right there in a nutshell. He leads me in the path of righteousness. He doesn't lead you in things that are ugly and mean and ungodly. That's our own lust, our own flesh, when it's not motivated and controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So who do we blame? Amen? Me. That's who I blame. For His name's sake. For His name's sake. Oh, whoa. Did you hear that? He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, or yet, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you hear that? It didn't say it was the valley of death. It says the valley of the shadow of death. How many knows a shadow can't hurt you? It can block you from the light. Amen? But it can't harm you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No matter what it is, no matter what it is, I will fear no evil. What's the Bible say in Psalm 91:1 or 91? 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. It is only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Though the arrow flies by day or you know and all that, you know what it says? It will not come nigh you. The pestilence, the arrow, it will not come nigh you. Because God has you in His hand. Your name is written in His hand. He has you. He knows you. He's got every hair on your head numbered. And He says that He has put His name right here on those that are His. Where are you going to go and escape that? I don't know of a place. And I'm not looking for it either. Amen? Glory to God. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Man. That's pretty comforting. That's more than pretty comforting. That brings great comfort to my soul. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. And then to top it all off, He prepares a table before us. Did you read the rest of that? In the presence of our enemy. I'm reminded of the song that says, though all the world forsake me and sin tempts me sore, He tells me every care on Him to roll. He is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen? Hallelujah. If God's for you, listen carefully, if God's for you, who can be against you? I don't care what the accusation is. I don't care what the situation is. If God's for you, who can be against you? Oh, they can try, and they can try to make your life miserable, but the greater one dwells within you. Once again, you're the head, not the tail. You are above only, not beneath. Not beneath. You're more than a conqueror. You're not a victim, you're a victor. And that means even in the stuff that you despise about your own life, God's there. He loves you. And when it comes to light, it's not to beat you down. It's not to expose you and to embarrass you. It's to say, I love you, and I still am, and I still have the answer for you. Amen? You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely, that's not a name, that's a statement in fact. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. It's given because of the love of God. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because you can't be separated from the love of God. You can't be separated from His presence. Where can I go that You're not there, Lord? The Scripture asks that question. Where can I go that You're not there? The question we need to ask ourselves today is, where is our focus? Where is our heart today? Has the enemy distracted us and caused us to think about how all the ugly things we may have done, or the ugly things we might do, how we've wronged other people, or how we've, you know, wronged ourselves by not being obedient? God knows. And He's not there to hold it against you. If you don't believe that, open your Bibles to John 3, 17, 18, and 19. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation that's come, because men love darkness rather than light. And what happens is your own actions is what brings condemnation on you. God is a convictor, not a condemner. And that conviction doesn't cause harm. It causes pain because we desire to do the right thing. We desire to please Him, just like we desire to please our spouse, our children, and to please other people. The Scripture says those who have friends must show themselves friendly. What does that mean? Act like God. How do you do that? Are you able to do that by yourself? I'm not. I have to trust Him every day. Every day. But thank God, I'm more than an overcomer. I mean, I overcome things by what? How do you overcome things? By the word of the Lord and the word of your testimony. Amen? That's how you overcome things. That's how you deal with these things that try to hang on to you, that try to tear you down and destroy you like a cancer. Amen? Remember that salvation means that you are spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, and emotionally sound. He's the one writing the checks. He's the one who's got all the abundance. He's the one who has everything that we need. And He says, I've given it to you. It's my good pleasure. I enjoy. I love. I get pleasure out of giving to you right now, not in eternity, but right now, which is part of eternity, the kingdom down here. I get joy and I get pleasure out of blessing you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But that means even in this earth. It doesn't do us a lot of good if we struggle and fail in this earth. And not only that, if God, once again, the song that just came out, by the way, Patrick, that song blessed me. I've heard that before. I haven't heard that particular group do it, but I've heard a gentleman do it on the radio, and I love that song. Couldn't have picked a better song. This service was ordered by God. Hallelujah. Lost my train of thought, but God will bring it back. Amen. Romans 8:28 says, but all things work together for good for those who love God, and what? There's more to it. Those who are called according to His purpose. And what you need to understand is the day you said, yes, Jesus, I accept You, I love You, come into my heart, that's when you entered into His purpose. I want to share something else with you for those of you who may be, I don't know if there's anybody here, but if there is, who may be young in the Lord still. You need to always remember how God refers to children. And you need to remember that just because, and this was something obviously even the people of old in Jesus' time and in the Bible times struggled with. How can I, what do you mean be born again? Can I enter back into my mother's womb? No. But what happened when you were born? You were totally helpless and totally dependent on your parents for everything. And in the process of them loving you, taking care of you, you began to grow and you began to learn. And as you began to grow and you began to learn, you began to operate in the things you knew. You began to do things because that's what you had seen. That's what you desired to do. Those motor skills began to develop, and you began to, first of all, push yourself up on your knees. Then you began to kind of move a little bit, like moving back and forth, you know, kind of rocking. Then the next thing you know, you're kind of one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. That's the same way it is in the kingdom of God. When the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things are passed away, dead and gone, unresurrectable. But now, you're a newborn person in Christ. You're a new species, a new being, a new baby in Jesus. And it's a process through our whole life. Through our whole life. I don't care whether you're sitting in the pew or you're standing here in the pulpit. There's not one person who is elevated above any other person in the Bible. There are requirements on people who have titles. And they give an answer to God because they're held accountable for what God's given them and what they do with what God's given them. But there's nobody any better than anybody else. And one of the things I've detested in my Christian life, because I went through that garbage, is people who stand up, make statements like, there's only one star in this house and you're not it. And where are they today? The church is gone and destroyed. They're struggling in their life because of the arrogance of their flesh and their heart. That deceptive heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9. No. Or someone who comes and says, Pastor, if I don't make it, it'll be your fault. What? I've read this thing, and I can't find that anywhere. The Bible says, by your words, by yours and my words, we are either justified or we are condemned. That's why he says, put a guard on your mouth. He says, it's not what goes into the man that defiles a man, it's that what comes out of him. And he says, what is in abundance in your heart is what you will come out of your mouth. Well, that's what you'll speak. I want the abundance of my heart to be God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And I don't want to know anything else about anybody or anything. Because then my eyes are focused to only see Christ in you, which is my hope of glory. And your hope of glory. Amen? Because Christ is in us. Amen? Is He? Amen. He is. God is good. His love is unfailing. It's unquenchable. It's unstoppable. Whether it's in the hardest criminal's life or the softest Christian's life, it's unstoppable and unquenchable. And that love, when you receive it, you can't help but give it back to other people. I've made this statement before. I'm going to make it again. Some of you I've made it to personally. You cannot do anything or say anything that will ever change my mind about how I feel about you. And I'm not talking about feelings here. I'm talking about the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. I love you, and nothing you say or do is going to change my mind or change that in me. I don't care. That, and you know, God said that before I did. I couldn't say that, and I couldn't stand here bold enough to say that if it hadn't happened in my life. If it hadn't happened in my life. Amen? I don't care who you know that's the biggest stinker you ever met. God loves them. And His thoughts for good for them and not for evil. Their thoughts to prosper and not to harm them. They're the ones who make the choice. But do you know what? I have a notion that God holds me accountable. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I understand it totally what that means. I don't have a handle on that. But God holds me accountable for the way I react even to the most vile sinner. They may not be His child because they're not an heir of Christ or an heir of God, but they are His creation. Amen? And they may have wronged you or tried to wrong you in the worst way. They may be the most selfish, nasty person you've ever had the disfortune or misfortune of meeting. But there's still a creation of God that we need to love. That doesn't mean we just kind of get all huggy and kissy, but it means we don't hold against them, because remember, God didn't hold our sins against us and our lawlessness against us. Amen? What they need is exactly what you and I experienced at the cross. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. And I know I'm not everything I need to be. That's why I need you. That's why I need to obey your word. I need to come to church. I need to hear the word. I need to be in the word. I need to have fellowship both in and out of the corporate setting of the church. And it's because we're all part of the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means here's Jesus the head, and here we are. And the cool thing is, the enemy is under our feet as well as his feet. And we're already seated with him at the right hand of God the Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about you, that just absolutely blesses my socks off. See, I remember what kind of man I was. And I don't want to be the one who looks in that mirror or that glass darkly, and then as soon as I turn away, forget what manner of person I am or I was. I need to see myself the way Jesus sees me. And only then are you going to walk in power and victory. And not only Jesus, but the Father God. You remember that Jesus came on, all he did was obey what God said. So that means it's your Father, your Creator, who loved you. And devised the plan, and put it in action so that you and I could be set free from the destruction that we faced. Amen? And he's not holding us out of the dominion that he gave Adam and Eve. He's put that angel there to point us back to that same relationship. You need to remember you're an eternal being. But the final destination is based on you and your decisions, not on anybody else. And you can't point a finger at somebody else and blame them. Your fingers have to point here. Have to point right here. Right here. And you know what happens? The cool thing is, man, I'm telling you, I have seen this in action. I haven't seen the final outcome, but I know what it is. I don't doubt it a bit. And that is that as I let God change me, not only other people change, but the circumstances and the things around me change also. Y'all remember the testimony of the young man who I used to work with here at the bank a couple nights a week, graveyard shift. Here was a young man who basically, man, I'm going to tell you, talk about a tough life. While he wasn't abused, he didn't have a loving mother and father. Everybody in his whole family turned on him. His friends turned on him. He was out in the cold for a year living in his car in situations where he could have been killed at any moment, in gang activity, drug activity, not that he was involved in it. Anyway, God knows, I don't know. I take his word for it, because I believe the best of every person, according to the Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, the book of love. But here he was. And he would sit there and he would play the devil's advocate with me, and he'd try to get me fired up. And all he did was get me fired up, not against him, but about the truth. And I watched God take that young man and change his attitude. Some of you met him. He was here one time. Raymond. Changed that. Now, is he walking where I'd like to see him? No. It's not my business. I did what God told me. I am not the Holy Spirit, people. You're not the Holy Spirit. We don't control what God does or how God does things in other people's lives. We're only in control as much as we make the decision of our own lives, even as much as we make the decision, God, I want you in my life. You're my guide into all truth. Holy Spirit, you're the one who teaches me and guides me. It's the Holy Spirit's job, and I'm not the Holy Spirit. In my life or in your life. Amen? So you have to deal with the things that you can control, and that's you. That's what I have to deal with, is the things that control me. That's me. You're a sweetheart. Like she's just sitting, or he's just sitting there sucking it in. He or she, whichever, bless her. Amen. Just sucking it in. Eyes focused. That's the Spirit of God. That's not me. That's not me. Her spirit is receiving the things that God's putting out. Amen. Glory to God. A little child will lead them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did this minister to anybody today? Did it touch your life? Did it change your focus? Change mine. I'm telling you, I needed it. I needed it. You know, I'm going to let you all in a little secret. I probably shouldn't divulge this, but pastors aren't perfect. They need God just like anybody else. Just like anybody else. I don't remember that, but if I did, I'd repent because I lied. We'll cast that lying spirit out right now. Amen. Our focus needs to be what was accomplished on the cross. And in that, some of it's just beyond the ability to understand. But you need to cry out to God and say, God, give me the understanding. Open my eyes. Let me see and understand. Let me see what you see. Let me hear what you hear. Let me think what you think. And let me speak what you tell me to speak. And that only. Isn't that the example that Jesus left us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Read the whole psalm? Okay. Alrighty. Here's asking me to read Psalm 91. Okay, verse 5 says, "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." In other words, that's laid a trap for you at noonday. 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you.
As Bill was talking about this, about the terror that flies by night. Now this pestilence is something that is coming along and is coming on this world. Now, what I'm talking about is what's happening in Japan. They said that the emission that's coming from that power plant now is a million times stronger than what they thought. A million times. Now that stuff is coming flying over through the earth. Don't fear anything that comes from that plant.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. When you're eating food, even if it comes from Japan, and now, did you hear about Hong Kong and all these other nations are saying no food from Japan, doesn't matter what it is. And this is getting pretty serious. Japan is going through some terrible throes. Now, when you take food into your mouth, always ask God to sanctify it.
Amen.
If you ask Him to sanctify it, He cleanses it completely with all from all poisons, from all pestilence, from all insecticides, whatever is in that food. Remember that God sanctifies when you ask Him to.
Amen.
And you don't have to fear this pestilence that's coming from this atomic plant.
Yeah, that's right.
There are going to be more things coming along. But remember, God is here to protect you. And He will take care of every one of your needs. And that is taking care of the cleanliness of your food. So praise God, we do have a God that takes care of every little need.
Amen. We're His. And to go along with that, just to add to that, it's not just the physical things, but it's the spiritual things that are pestilence from the enemy. Anything that's going to try to destroy you. What's his job? What does the Bible say about him? He's already revealed what kind of a person he is or what kind of an entity he is. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And when he lies to you, what he does is he brings fear. Amen? And what does God say? I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear has torment. Amen? That's why fear is the opposite of faith. When you operate in fear, you want to know the greatest freedom I've ever experienced? Many years after I said, Jesus, come into my life, there was a day when I stood up and said, God, I'm tired of being a phony. Now, I was trying to serve God the best of my ability, but the point is, it wasn't working because I was trying to do it in my own ability. And I stood and said, God, I want to be transparent before you. Which means, I said, I surrender to you. I want you in control, not me anymore. And that was based on foolishness in my mind, in my deceitful heart. Well, people aren't going to help me. I'm going to go do this myself. I totally missed, even though I knew what it said and I had preached it, that the Bible says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. Now, what does that mean? Let's go back to the Romans 11:29. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? That means it's irrevocable. He never changes his mind when he sends a gift or sends a call. Never changes his mind. You have a choice whether you fulfill it or not, or whether you walk in it. But the point is, he never changes his mind. Does that sound like the love of God? And you know what? That tells you right there, it's not based on what you do or you don't do. You're blessed if you follow and you let God do it. But God is the one who causes that favor, the gift that he's placed in you. Just like he says, I know the desires of your heart, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes it's a desire that's there that came from just inside yourself. It's not wrong. Sometimes it's like Nehemiah, where Nehemiah went to God and said, God, what do you want? And God puts the desire in the heart and then fulfills that desire. Amen. It works both ways. Now, I don't know about y'all, but somehow that doesn't seem like a God I can't trust. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him that he has the outcome already made and that you're not going to fail if you keep your eyes on him? And if you're willing to say, you know what, Lord, I made a mistake. Or cry out to him and say, Lord, I don't want to make any mistakes anymore. Does that mean you won't? It means you may make a few less if you pray that every day. Amen? God loves you. I would encourage you to read Psalm 91 again and think about the things that we've talked about today. See exactly what God says. He says he'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Does that sound like the character of God or the character of Satan? And from the noisome pestilence, from the problems that lay await for you at noonday. Amen? Under his wings, he'll cover us. Under his wings, we'll trust. Amen? And at the beginning when it says, "In he that dwells in the secret place," that means he who lives in. You reside there every day of your life. And you trust him and ask him every day of your life, the Lord, help me to live in this place. And what does he say? If we ask him for a stone or for a fish, will he give us a serpent? If we ask him for a loaf of bread, is he going to give us a stone? Praise God. If you need prayer today, let's pray. If you want to come, come. If you don't, just bow your head. I'm going to pray. God's not here, and I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But I'm here to tell you I need the Lord. And I need him more today than I needed him yesterday. And I need him more tomorrow than I needed him today. And I will need him today. And I need him today. Amen? I need him today. I need him today. Walk in the moment, not worrying about what has happened or what will happen. Like the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on, about what you're going to eat. He takes care of us. Amen? If you got something to play, Gene, do it, please. Anyway, do you hear what I'm saying? God loves you. Amen. There's sanctuary here. Sanctuary in the presence of God. That means safety, protection from all the attacks. I remind you again when I say don't run from God, run to him when you're in trouble, because that's where you find answers and love and safety. I told my kids, you may get in trouble. I may not like what you did. I never did finish this, did I? But the point is, if you come to me, we'll go through it together. And we'll get through it. And when it's over and done with, I'll never throw it in your face and I'll never use it against you. Amen? And that's God talking. I'm not so great that I can do that myself. That's the love of God. He's revealed and given me some understanding. I said some. I didn't say all. I said some understanding of what his love's all about. do whatever God tells you to do today. You want to raise your hand, you want to come, whatever, do it. But in any case, will you bow your heads with me, please? Father, you are so amazing. The Word says your ways are past finding out. You revealed to us the mystery, Lord. Your mystery, the mystery of God. And Lord, every day you bestow goodness. And your mercy and your goodness go with us. Walk with us, just like two people walking with us. Almost like bodyguards, Lord. They follow us every day. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. Father, right now, I say openly, forgive me, Lord. I've made mistakes. I've made bad decisions. And Father, for those that I may have hurt or wronged in the process of my walk, I ask for you to forgive me, Lord. And I ask for them, Lord, according to your word, the word forgiveness means to release me into your hands. And by so doing, Lord, you release them and the circumstances, and you turn to good what was meant for harm and destruction in those situations. We repent, Lord. We call on you today. We profess and claim, Lord, and speak boldly. We need you. We need you and your presence in our lives, the Holy Spirit. We need the love of God to abound in us. And in so doing, we can let it abound towards others. No matter what they do, no matter what they say or how they act, Lord, we've made the decision that we're going to love because that's the way you loved us, with an uncompromising, unchanging, undying, and unrelenting love. Father, right now we thank you that because we've asked, Lord, you have forgiven us, and that everything that we came in here with is once again dead and gone, buried in the deepest sea, can never be brought up again, and it's removed as far as us as the east is from the west, and it will never return to us. Now, Lord, heal our memories so that we, like Paul, have no recollection of those things. And when the accusation comes, Lord, we say, we don't know what you're talking about. Whether it's to Satan or someone who is so apt, family, friends, or even those who don't really know us, point the fingers of accusations by observation of our life. We're free. And because you've set us free, Lord, we are free indeed, body, soul, and spirit. Soul meaning the mind, will, and emotions, the seat of appetites. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving today for what you're accomplishing and what you have accomplished. And we leave here not the same as when we came in. And all who agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah.